And praise the Lord. Thank you, preacher. Take your Bibles, go to Matthew chapter 6. I don't have the words, and so I'm not going to try. Too many people to thank, too many memories to share, and we've got a message from God tonight. So it's good to be back home. Always grateful for Lighthouse and what it's been in my life. I grew up here, was called to preach out of this church, was on staff at this church, was sent out to pastor from this church, and so just praise the Lord for all He's done in my life, my family's life, through this church. And praise the Lord for Pastor and the impact he's been as well. Amen. Matthew, go ahead and introduce my kids. All right. That might open a can. But all right, of worms. All right, boys. These are my boys. Go ahead and stand up. Contrary to appearance, the oldest one is the one in the middle. That's Jonathan. Josiah is the one on the left. Over here on the right is Jeremiah. And then I have a little girl, Patricia, that is in the nursery. We call her Trish. And, of course, my wife, for those of you that may not know, go ahead and stand up, honey. The boys had to. And so, amen. I get to do this when I go other places and preach. I can't do that to her at home. So, but, no, I praise the Lord for my family and just the children God has given me. And they're a blessing, amen. They're something else, but they're a blessing. So, Matthew chapter 6. I'm grateful for them. Matthew chapter 6. A preacher asked me to come and preach tonight as I just began to pray and just about what God would have for us, and I have no doubt tonight this is where He'd have us be. So Matthew chapter 6, if you're able, if you stand out of respect for God's Word. Matthew chapter number 6, we'll start reading in verse number 19. The Bible reads, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than the meat, and the body more than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." Let's pray. Father God, we love you. Lord, I'm so grateful for the opportunity to be here tonight. What an honor it is to get to preach your word in this place. God, what an honor it is to get to preach your word any place. Lord, I'm so grateful that you counted me faithful and placed me in the ministry, Lord. I know I'm not worthy, but I praise the Lord that you called me and, Lord, that you used me. Lord, I pray now for the next few minutes you'd empty me of myself. Lord, fill me with your power. I don't desire to be seen or heard here tonight. Lord, I just want to be used like a tool in your hand, God, a mouthpiece to speak through. Lord, deliver the message to your people you've already delivered to me. God, I pray that you meet every need assembled in this place. Lord, I don't know what they are. God, even if I did know, I couldn't meet them. But Lord, your word is quick and powerful, able to meet every need from the least to the greatest. God, if there be one here that's lost and undone, I beg you that they would trust you as their Savior before it's eternally too late. God, if there's one that needs to make some things right with you, Lord, maybe one that just needs encouraged, whatever the case tonight, I pray that your word would have its will and way in this service. God, I do pray for those of us that know you as our Savior, that, Lord, we would leave here different than we came in, changed as a result of your word. For God, if we leave like we came, we've wasted our time. God, that's not our desire tonight. I pray that your word would find good ground in our hearts, Lord, and would spring forth and conform us more to the image of your Son, Jesus Christ. Bind Satan from this place. Have your will and way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You can be seated. going to preach a message tonight titled Leftover Christianity. Leftover Christianity. Now, by way of introduction, we all eat leftovers. Amen? Well, at least we're all supposed to eat leftovers. Some of us eat them less than others. And, you know, the thing about leftovers is this. They do provide sustenance, okay? They do provide calories and what you need to survive. But if we'd be honest before God, they're nobody's favorite. And if you were asked if you could have anything you wanted, I dare say almost no one would say, I want leftovers. Now, if you think I'm wrong, then explain this. Why is there no restaurant across these United States that's what they serve? Can you imagine if you went in and sat down at a restaurant and you said, well, what do y'all serve? And they said, well, we serve whatever we had left over from last night, so we'll go ask. I don't know about you, but I'd leave pretty quick. I'm not real interested in that. Even in my own house, you know, my wife will make dinner. And I love what she makes, and I love how she cooks, but I'm not big on eating things twice. And so there'll be leftovers, and I just pray that, you know, the kids will eat that during the day, and I can have something else the next night. I'm just not a big fan of leftovers. Again, they get the job done, but they're not what we want. They're not what's best. If you knew you were having guests, ladies, and you wanted to serve your very best, there's no lady on planet Earth that to serve her very best would serve leftovers. Now, that doesn't mean that those leftovers are inedible. It doesn't mean that they don't provide some of what's necessary. It doesn't even mean that they don't get the job done, but they're certainly not what is best. They're certainly not what we want. And because of that, if we'd be honest, we usually don't even enjoy them all that much. Now, some people may be in here saying, I love leftovers. And if that's you, praise the Lord. That's fine. It's not me. Amen. Once in a while, there are certain things I like to eat again. You know, you come home, guys, from work, and your wife's cooking, and you can smell, and you'll say, oh, I bet we're having Mexican, or I bet we're having Italian, or you can tell what you're having, unless it's leftovers. Then you come in, and you're trying to smell and figure things out, and you think, got no idea about this one. So you walk in, and what are we having? We're having leftovers. Well, that's fantastic. No, it's not anything that any of us are excited about. Listen, we don't call home and say, sweetheart, would you please fix me leftovers tonight? No, we desire something fresh. We desire the best. We desire what we want. We desire that which is even better. And it's not about the fact that leftovers don't get the job done. Because we can all look around the room and know that none of us are starving, amen? Leftovers still do provide some nourishment. But they're sure not what we want. In our text tonight, there's no question the point of this text. If you look at it three times, the text says, take no thought. Take no thought. The idea and the main idea of this text and this passage of Scripture very simply is that we ought not worry or that we ought not be preoccupied with the things of this life. And the reason we ought not worry and ought not be preoccupied with the things of this life is because we serve a Heavenly Father that has it all under control. And when we worry, all we're saying is, God, I don't trust you to handle this. When we worry, all we're saying is, God, I don't think you can get this done. When we worry and preoccupy ourselves with the things of this life, we're basically saying to the Lord, I don't think you're sufficient in this situation. Now, none of us that love the Lord and are saved would ever say that out loud, but yet that's how we live our life when we worry on a day-to-day basis about day-to-day life. That's why three times in this text he says, take no thought. Take no thought. And then in verse 33, he says this. He says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. The key, if you will, tonight to not having to worry, the key, if you will, tonight to not giving too much thought to the things of this world, to not being preoccupied with the things of this world, to not being consumed with the things of this world, is to make sure that God Almighty has my first and my best at all times. And if God Almighty is getting my first and my best at all times, and He has the right place in my life, and He has the preeminent position in my life, then I won't have to worry because I'll know that it's all taken care of. But the reason that so many of us are prone to worry and prone to preoccupation with the things of this life is because what we give God is leftovers. What we give God is leftovers. What God desires and what God deserves is our very best. If you study the Bible from beginning to end, the principle is very clear that God desires the first fruits, the best, the first things. God doesn't want what's left over. He wants off of the top. He wants to be the first one taken care of, the first one thought of, the first one served. God desires to be first. And sadly, in your life and in my life, so often what God gets is what's left. What God gets is what's left. This idea of leftover Christianity is why we struggle so much with worry. We can't walk close to the Lord like we need to if we're not giving Him what He demands, and that is our best. Our best. Four things tonight we want to look at out of this text about God and where He deserves our best, but sadly often gets leftovers. The first thing tonight is God deserves our best and our first in our thoughts. He deserves our best and our first in our thoughts. You know, ideally would be that God was the preeminent thing that occupied our time and occupied our mind, even how we thought through the day. And you say, well, preacher, I've got so many things I've got to take care of, and I've got so many things that I've got to remember, and I've got so many things that I've got to attend to. And listen to me, if anyone understands that, God understands that. But God will not take second place to anything else, even in our thoughts. And the reality is that if God is first in our thoughts, and God is how we start the day out, and God is what we put first on our mind, then everything else will work so much better. After all, in verse 33, He makes very clear, if you seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, He'll add all these things unto you. And you say, well, if I start my day worrying about the Lord and thinking about God and putting Him first, I'll never get done what I have to get done. I beg to differ. On the contrary, if you don't start out your day with God first on your mind and God first in your thoughts, you'll never accomplish what He wants you to accomplish. Because we give Him leftovers. The reality is we roll out of bed thinking about what we've got to do before we leave the house. And I understand things need to be done. I have four kids. I know things need to be done. But that's what's on our mind. And when we get all those things finished, if we've got to leave and go to work, then we leave and go to work. What we're thinking about is what I have to get done today. And so we get done through the day what we need to get done. And then we come home and what's on our mind is, now I need to relax. I've got to unwind. And so we do what we need to relax or unwind. And then what's on our mind is what's going to be for supper. And we're praying it's not leftovers. But that's what's on our mind. And we're thinking about all these things, and God help us. But at the end of the day, right before bed, we might remember Jehovah. You know what? I haven't prayed today. I haven't read my Bible today. I'm going to do that right now. And praise the Lord, that's better than not doing it at all. But it's still leftovers. It's good to think of God at the end of the day. It's better than not thinking of Him at all. But it doesn't show that He has the right place in our life. And as Christians, we wonder sometimes why I can't keep my thoughts the way they ought to be, and why I can't organize things the way I need to, and why I'm not accomplishing what I need to. And we think it's all about what I have to do to fix this and fix that, when the reality is it's because God is getting leftovers in our thoughts. In our society, people spend millions and millions of dollars every year to try to get better organized. There's nothing wrong with that. But you really want to have the organization you need to have, then God has to come first in how we think. He has to come first. Listen, if you're penciling God in your planner, or it's not penciling in anymore, amen, if He's in your iPad schedule, and you're making sure there's room for Him in your thinking, it won't work that way. He has to be first. He demands to be first. He demands to seek and be sought first in our thoughts. Our thought life has to start with the Lord God. He has to be central to everything else we think. Listen to me. The Bible tells us in Philippians chapter 4 that if we would think on those things that are righteous and pure and holy, and I'm not going to quote the verse tonight, but it tells us we ought to think on those things. Why? Because that keeps God first in our thinking. We wouldn't have the problem with our thoughts we have. We wouldn't have the problem with our thought life that we have. We wouldn't have the issue with remembering things that we need to get done that we do if God was first. But He's usually not, because we give Him the leftovers, because we live this leftover Christianity. And God, whatever little bit of thought I have right before I pass out, I'll give to You. Listen, I've been there. I understand. You lay down in bed and remember you haven't prayed, and you think, God, I'm going to pray. Dear Lord, and you close your eyes to pray, and in seconds, you're asleep. It's better not praying at all, but it's sure not what God deserves. It's sure not what He expects. The first area that God deserves our first and our best in is in our thoughts, but sadly, He often just gets leftovers. He often just gets leftovers. The second area that God deserves our best and our first is our time. Is our time. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Listen to me, we live in a society that is so consumed with filling every waking minute of every waking day with something, it's unbelievable. We're entertaining ourselves to death. And there can be no dead time. It hadn't always been that way. I'm not that old. That may be shocking. I'm not that old, but I remember as a kid, it wasn't always that way. You had to entertain yourself. And that meant no TV, no video games, go outside and figure out a way to spend a few hours. I think all my boys would die of heart attack if I caused that to happen. No, if we go 10 minutes without them doing something, what they're asking is, what are we going to do next? And I'm going, what do you mean, what are we going to do next? Figure it out. You got a room full of toys. But we live this lifestyle that every second has to be consumed. And by the way, it's not just our kids. It's us as well. And so we fill our schedule with all these things. Listen, there's nothing wrong with filling our schedule with things until they take the place that the Lord deserves. But what usually happens is we fill our schedule and God gets what's left. He gets what's left. We sit down to plan out our week and we say, well, Monday I've got to do this and this and this and this. And Tuesday I got to do this and this and this. And Wednesday I got to do this and this and this. No time for church. And then Thursday I got to do this, this and this. And Friday and Saturday and Sunday. I might be able to make it Sunday morning. But I mean, really, we're just so busy. Listen to me. God gets leftovers. When what ought to happen is the beginning of our week, we ought to sit down and say, here's what God expects of me with my time this week. I have to have time for Bible reading and prayer. I have to have time to be in church every time the doors are open. I have to have time to serve the Lord. I have to have time to be involved. I have to have time to do all God wants me to. And okay, now with what's left, we'll fill in our schedule. Because He ought to get our first and He ought to get our best. Now understand, don't get me wrong, that jobs have to be worked and money has to be made to provide things. God understands that. That's not what takes the place of God normally. Now it can. When overtime is not required, the money's not needed, but we choose to do that instead of coming to church, then the job just came before God. And we put something before the Lord in our time. No, what normally takes God's place in our time is recreation. Well, preacher, after all, we have so little free time. And I mean, if we gave it to the Lord, then I mean, how could we relax? Well, Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that are weary and heavy hearted, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. What is a yoke? It's an instrument of work. It's an instrument of work. What he was saying is, if you serve me and put me first, I'll give you the rest that you need. I'll make sure you're taken care of. After all, in our text he said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. He knows you need recreation. He knows you need downtime. He knows you have to make a living. And he can better take care of that than anyone else if he's first. If he's first. But that's not how we do things. Well, preacher, you don't understand. We have all these kids that are involved in things. I understand having all these kids. Amen. And I understand them all wanting to be involved in things. There's nothing wrong with that. But it better never come before the Lord. My boys got old enough to start playing Little League. And my boys, two of my boys play baseball. And the youngest is in T-ball. That's not baseball and it's really not even a sport. But that's what he does. I'm sorry, if you don't keep score, it's not a sport. It's the most ridiculous thing in the world. Nobody wins, nobody loses. We all love everybody and sing Kumbaya. It's garbage. But anyway, so... Just another year or so, the boy will get to play real baseball. But my two older ones play Little League. And I told them when they started, I said, now listen, that's good and fine. They play in our town and they like to play. And they're both actually pretty good. And they enjoy it a lot. It's a secular league. And they're going to play games when they're going to play games. But I told my boys, we'll never miss church for you to play baseball. So don't even ask. It's not going to happen. Now listen to me. There have been many a Wednesday night that mom and dad drove separate to a Wednesday night early game. So dad could be at church on time and they could get there right at 7, boys still in uniforms, but they're not going to miss church. Jonathan had a game when it was a close game and he was hitting real well that night. And the coach liked to throw a fit when my wife said, he's got to leave. He said, you can't just stay a little longer. And she said, no, we got to go. We got to go. Why? Because that's not going to come before the Lord. It's not anywhere in the ballpark as much as important. And you say, well, but kids need that. No, kids need to see mom and dad putting God first. Kids need to see that in our time and in our schedule, God matters more than anything else. And what's important in our life is God coming first and God having the right place. And if God comes first, guess what? They'll get everything else they need. That's what he promised. That's what he promised if we'd seek him first. He ought to be first in our time, but sadly what happens is he gets what's left. He gets what's left. Well, Lord, if I have a little time here and there, then I'll try to use it. I know there's things going on at the church, preacher, and I'm awful covered up, but if I can find 30 minutes here or there, I'll come and help out. God help us. He gets what's left. Listen to me. He ought to get our best. He ought to get the best and the first from our time. Number three tonight, he ought to get our first and our best in our thoughts, in our time. He ought to get our first and our best in our talents. Do you realize whatever abilities you have were given to you by God to use for Him in the local church? Period. They were given to you to use for your family and for the local church. You say, well, you know, I do this all week long. I don't want to have to do it on the weekends. Listen, if it's a talent God gave you that your church needs, you need to be willing to do it on the weekends. That's why He gave it to you. What we do is we give God what's left. Well, Lord, I really don't want to use this or this or this or this or do this or this or this or this. But God, if there's anything else that needs done. And what we do is we conveniently make it to where there's almost no way we can serve the Lord. Because we give Him leftovers. Listen to me. You say, well, I just know that I do it all the time. I don't want to have to do it when I'm not working. Listen to me as a preacher. I understand what you mean. But you know, almost never have I taken a vacation since I've been in the pastorate that I haven't preached while I was on vacation. Why? Because it's a talent God gave to be used for Him. Yeah, I do it all the time, and maybe it's nice to get a break, but you know what? If the Lord wants me to use it when I'm on break, then I'm going to use it when I'm on break. Because it's His anyway. And we need to realize that those talents and those abilities are God-given to further the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ. But we give Him what's left. Well, God, I really just don't want to do that. And I know that I really would fit really good in that spot, but I just have no desire. You know, it's really not about our desire. It's about what's right. When He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, He didn't say if that's your sort of thing. He commanded it. And in our talent, we ought to seek the Lord first. How can I use what God has blessed me with to serve Him? And you say, God hadn't blessed me with any talents. That's not true. God has blessed us all with talents and abilities. Now, what is very true is that almost none of us are that five-talent person the Bible talks about. They're very rare, few and far between. And even a few more may be two-talent people. Most of us are just one-talent individuals. But God expects that one talent to be used for Him. He expects that ability we have to be used for Him. And you say, listen, I don't have much to give the Lord, but He wants what you have in your talents and your abilities. You'd be amazed at the things you could do for the Lord that you may not even think would be serving the Lord because of the talents He's given you. But the problem is we look at it as giving God whatever's left. We may not consciously think that way, but that's what we do. He deserves our best and our first in our talents. He deserves our best and our first in our time, our thoughts, in our time, and our talents. Lastly tonight, our first and our best in our treasure. Look at verse 19 and 20. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Listen to me. God deserves our first and our best in our treasure. In our money, in our finances primarily. Absolutely He does. It's what the Bible teaches. The tithe is to be the first fruits, the Bible says, of all of our increase. And we ought to be giving God first and giving to Him first and letting Him multiply the rest. And you say, if I gave God like He expects, I couldn't pay my bills. Listen to me. If you're God's, you can't not give Him what He expects and still pay your bills for very long, friend. Because God won't bless your finances. You say, well, explain how it works. I can't. Wouldn't even try. But I could bring person after person up here on this platform that would tell you, look, it makes no sense if you look at my books that I could give 10% to God like He commands. I couldn't pay my bills. But I've continued to do it. And guess what? I've always paid my bills. Because God does what He says in verse 33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. God takes care of what He needs to take care of when He's first. But sadly, the reality is He usually gets what's left. Well, we've paid everything and there's a little bit left, so we'll give some to the Lord. God help us. That's not what He expects. That's not what He deserves. He deserves our best. He deserves our first. It's not just with money when we talk about our treasure. It's those things that are precious to us. Can I tell you, parents, we would all amen and get excited when some preacher talks about God calling people into the ministry and calling people to go to the mission field and using people to serve Him until it's our kid that surrenders. And then what we say is, well, now wait a minute. I don't know if I want my boy to end up in Africa. And God, I'm not so sure about that. I mean, you can take somebody else's kid. Our treasure. We want to give Him what's left. We don't want to give Him what's best sometimes. And we hold back what is the best and we give Him only what's left. Can I tell you as we close tonight, these four ideas. The idea is not how much. The idea is not how talented. The idea is not how gifted. The idea is not how much time. The idea is making sure He gets what's first and best. That's what He's concerned about. I'm reminded of the story tonight of the little widow that threw in two mites. Almost nothing. Almost nothing, but Jesus said she gave out of her necessity. And so she was blessed. See, it wasn't about the amount. It was about that she gave God her best. She gave God first. She gave God what He deserved. And don't think He didn't take care of her. Reminded of the widow woman in the Old Testament when Elijah came and said, God told me you're to feed me. And she told him, she said, I can't. I just have a little bit of meal, a little bit of oil. I'm going to make me and my boy one small, last, pitiful meal, and then we're going to die of starvation. So I'm sorry, I can't feed you. Now listen to me. In her mind, that made sense. Can I tell you the biggest reason that we're leftover Christianity and we live leftover Christianity is because in our mind it makes sense. I mean, after all, God understands. No. What God understands is obedience and disobedience. That's it. And we either obey Matthew 6:33 and put Him first and give Him the best, or we don't. But in her mind it made sense. I mean, after all, the man of God has got to understand. And Elijah, no doubt, might have come off a little cold-hearted. Wasn't his intention. He was just doing what God told him when He said, just make me some food first, and the Lord will take care of you. She had enough sense to do what He said. So she made Elijah some food, and as he was eating, she said, wow, there's still meal and oil. So she made her and her son some food, and she said, man, there's still some left. And the next day she fed Elijah and fed her son, and the next day she fed her son and her, and the Bible says it never wasted until the famine was over. But I guarantee you this, if she didn't give God her best and her first and feed Elijah, it wouldn't have lasted. God wouldn't have sustained her. But she did her part. She put Him first, and God did His part, and He took care of her. And Christian, let me tell you this tonight. Whether it's in your thought life, whether it's in your time schedule, whether it's in your talents, whether it's in your treasure, whatever the case may be tonight, if you'll give God the first and give God the best, He will take care of everything else. But if you don't, you can't claim that promise. You can't claim the promise of God that He'll take care of everything else in life. And I'm convinced tonight that as Christians, so often, when Christians will say, or we may say in our own life, I just don't understand why things aren't going better. If we would truly examine ourselves, we'd find it's because we're giving God leftovers. And God says, you know, the leftovers are better than nothing. And at least you're giving me something. But it's not enough to get the promises of Matthew 6:33. If you want me to take care of everything else, I have to have your best. I have to have your first. And I sure can't have leftovers. Are we leftover Christians tonight? If we are, we need to determine to give God our best. Every head bowed and every eye closed tonight. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Just a minute, we'll have an invitation. Opportunity to respond to what God has spoken to us about. You know, the question at this part of the service is not, did God speak? Because the Bible tells us if His word is opened, He speaks. Whether we're at home reading it or hearing it preached. So we know He spoke tonight. So the question is, how did He speak to you? And do you need to respond?